Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to You Irons, the West Ham podcast from the good people at The Athletic. Right now you can subscribe to The Athletic for a special price of $3.99 a month for 6 months. That's 40% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all our podcasts. So go to theathletic.com/West Ham pod to take advantage of this special 40% discount. That's theathletic.com/West Ham pod. Talking of great analysis and brilliant football writers, we are joined by Rashane Thomas, the Athletic's West Ham correspondent, as always. I'm Sam Delaney. To be honest, I'm not going to claim I offer any of those things, but, you know, I'm here. I support West Ham. Take it or leave it, mate. How you doing, Rashane?
I'm all good, pal. I'm loving your baseball cap right now.
Yeah,
looking really good, pal.
Oh, cheers, mate. Yeah, well, it's nice because, I mean, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of You Irons is that ordinarily throughout this last year of lockdown, we've obviously been recording remotely, but using a system whereby we can't actually see each other. But just over the last couple of weeks, we started to do it on Zoom, and it's wonderful that we can gaze into each other's eyes as we discuss West Ham United. It lends something more to it, I think. Hopefully for the listener, certainly for me personally. I mean, you get to see my hat and my winning smile. You know, I just get to see your face. It's just wonderful, isn't it?
It really is, Sam. I get to see that beautiful painting behind you as well.
You're a fan of my artwork, yep. Aren't you?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Good. Well, there you go, listeners. There's a little bit of a peek behind the scenes here at You Irons for you. I know that will interest you. Let's look at a disappointing performance for the Hammers this week. I mean, some people have been in touch with me. Some people sort of make snide remarks about how positive we are on this podcast, right? Yeah. They're like, you're a bit positive all the time, always talking us up. I'm like, well, yeah, but that's because we're West Ham supporters, right? I mean, if you want objective analysis, then, you know, read a paper or to one of your general interest football podcasts. We're West Ham supporters. I mean, I might be old-fashioned, but in my day, it was like you support a team and you're behind them all the time and you're optimistic and hoping for the best. And this season, they have given us plenty to be optimistic about. But there were some people going, oh, I bet you two won't be so optimistic this week, will you? Well, no, it was up there in our worst performances of the season, I would say. Probably in our top two or three worst performances, isn't it, Rashane?
I agree. And the thing about like defeats for West Ham as a West Ham fan, it takes me ages to get over it. Mm. At age, and I'm still thinking like, if only Moyes done this, if only that player came on a lot earlier. And I feel like in that match particular, obviously we all know defensive lineup. You know, I always mention, right, whenever West Ham go a goal down, I'm quite confident we can come back and, you know, if we draw or win the match. That was the first time a season I was like, I can't see us scoring. Generally can't see us scoring. Prior to Lanzini and Benrahma coming, I was thinking, how on earth are we going to score? We're playing the balls into Antonio. He's not really getting there. Maguire's winning like the aerial battles. Like, we're really struggling here. And I felt like we looked really positive going forward when Benrahma and Lanzini came on. And after the match, I was sort of thinking, if only Moyes has been a bit more confident, a bit more brave, and started them, put them in the lineup, how different things could have been. Because also in the FA Cup match, right, obviously I know Antonio was injured for that game, but I felt like they were there for the taking of that match.
Yeah.
So, two trips we're thinking.
So it's three defeats against United this season, and all three were really disappointing. The first one in the league was disappointing because I thought we were genuinely the better team for the bulk of that game, and we blew it. But as a result of that, I would have thought that would have made David Moyes think we had the better of them at the London Stadium. So in the subsequent games, you would have thought he'd think, well, we proved in that game that we could go toe to toe with them. And we're unlucky to miss out. So let's go for it this time. Both games, the Cup game, very, very close, but neither team played particularly well, I didn't think. And then in this game, let's be fair, United deserve to win. In fact, I'd say they deserve to win by more. If it wasn't for heroics by Fabianski in the woodwork, that was a performance that could have seen us lose by 3 or 4 goals, in all honesty. But here's the thing, Rashane, and this might redress the balance for some of the West Ham fans who inexplicably take issue with our positivity. Of course, we love David Moyes. He's done fantastically well. Short of us getting thrashing every game between now and the end of the season, this season is already a success. This is going to go down as a successful season. But when that team lineup was announced on Sunday, I'm not even going to say me. I'm going to say you, Rashane. You knew, or you had a very strong feeling, the way this game was going to go based on that starting lineup, didn't you?
I was like, defensive team. The only two creative players in the team were Boren and Antonio. Barring that, how else are we going to call opportunity? I saw Mark Noble. I thought, listen, great Mark Noble signed a new contract. He'll be an important figure behind the scenes. But I'm thinking, Noble shouldn't be in the starting 11 right now, in my opinion. I'd rather have Lanzini. I saw people say, oh, but Lanzini, Benrahma, you know, they're not so good on defensive end. I'm not having that. I feel like it's an excuse people use all the time. And I'm not having that anymore. Like, I reckon they offer a lot more going forward. And even the match against United, Mark Noble didn't have a great game. And this season, right, West Ham are yet to win a match that Noble has started in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's that bad stat he has now as well. So I looked at starting lineup. Obviously, me being me, I tried to feel a bit encouraged, felt a bit optimistic, but I was like, oh, I can't see us scoring. How did you feel?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at Noble and your heart sinks because you think I don't mind Noble being on the bench, and sometimes I quite like to see him on when we're defending a lead with like 10 minutes to go. I think, you know, he can be a calming influence. But when he starts a game, you straight away think two things. One is, just as an individual, he won't be able to keep up. And we know that now. We've seen it enough times. It's not us being harsh. We love Mark Noble, right? Everyone loves Mark Noble. We're not being harsh and judging him on the odd performance. Every game for a year, at least, he can't keep up. The game passes him by. And what's more, when he does receive the ball, the big thing about this team and the way we play is that, yeah, we defend deep. We make it very hard for them to get through. But then when we win possession, we look up and look to move the ball very quickly out of defence, out to our wide players and the pacier players, right? And Declan Rice particularly good at doing that. But Mark Noble always, even in his younger years, even when he was a better player and had the legs to keep up in a game, he has always been the sort of player who will slow play down. He likes to turn both ways, right? He'll do a little turn one way, have a look about, turn the other way, have a look about. He's very good at doing that. He can keep possession. You won't often see him lose possession. The problem is he slows everything down. And this way of playing deep in defence is dependent on breaking quickly on the counter. And so his style of play is completely contrary to the tactics that West Ham approach every match with. That's the big problem. But also, irrespective of his failings as an individual, when you see him in the team rather than Benrahma, you know that straight away Moyes has got, I mean, this sort of undersells him a bit, but really he's got two approaches, hasn't he? And one, they're both pretty defensive. But one is proper, we're parking the bus here and we're going to try and get out to Antonio and hit you on the break, right? And that's what he's done against teams who are traditional top six teams. And I thought, well, this is a big match for us. We're going for a top four position and this is a chance for us to lay down a marker. And United this is not a vintage United side. They're beatable. We've seen that. All sorts of teams have beaten them, right? And I thought, maybe Moyes will just think, do you know what? I'm going to go for it here. We're going to take points off United here. And as soon as you see he's picked Noble instead of Benrahma, you think, oh no, he's going to send the team out. Once again, just like against Liverpool, just like against City, he's going to send this team out, having effectively cut their bollocks off, right? And the thing about it is, people will say, oh, Benrahma doesn't offer as much defensively. I'm with you on that. That's actually bollocks. First of all players at this level run, right? Yeah. All of them get stuck in. Benrahma's no different. This is not the night. When I was a kid in the 80s, you know, your Glenn Hoddles, your Chris Waddles, your flair players. Every team had a flair player. We had Di Canio in the 90s or the noughties. Every team had a player who was their skillful player but was not prepared to work. those players don't exist anymore. They do, but they're not in the Premier League, right? But the other thing is that what Benrahma does is that he holds the ball up because of his ability, because of his skill on the ball. He doesn't hold it up in the way that Antonio does. He's not big and strong and backs into defenders. But what he does is, if you get him the ball into his feet, it will stick with him and it will give the other players a chance to come up and move up the field, because he can hold on to it. He's very good at winning free kicks. And that was exactly what we needed. We needed respite in that game. But poor old Antonio, he was the only out ball. Didn't think Bowen had a great game. I think he's gone for a few bad mumps, actually. Or not bad, but average mumps. But Antonio had a very difficult time. We just couldn't hold on to the ball at all. And that's why, like you, I thought when we went one down, can't see any way of us getting a goal in this game, which is the last thing we've talked about West Ham all season, because we've always got all this attacking play, this attacking flair. Fair enough, Fornals was injured and that came late, and Lingard we were deprived of, obviously. But you know, if you've got Lanzini, I'm not a big fan of Lanzini personally, but I think even he would have had a better job in a sort of a number 10 role than Mark Noble, really just letting the game wash over him. That's what happened.
I agree. And even on like Benrahma, right? As you touched on with Fornals being injured and Lingard being eligible. If I was, I'd been like, all right, Benrahma, show me why he deserves to be in this team. Give me a selection headache. Give me a difficult conundrum. Show me why you should be in this team ahead of the likes of Fornals or Lingard and what have you. Like, go out there and show me what you can do. And I felt like he wasn't given an opportunity. And as I touched on earlier, when he came on, we looked so much better going forward. And what I like most about Benrahma is he's so unique. I can't think of anyone else like him in this squad right now. Like, he's just so different. I like what makes him so special. Doing odd stepovers, making that odd pass. And it's like, just give the guy a chance. Give him a chance. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the whole thing's been handled bad, in my opinion, because he hasn't been given an opportunity to have, like, you know, an extended run of games to show what he can do. My mind goes back to that game against Leeds where he was so amazing, so good. The game against Aston Villa, so good at Lingard. It's like, he's not getting a chance to build on from that, coming off the bench, getting brought up after about half an hour. It's like, come on, give this guy a full 90 minutes, show what he can do. Spend 30 minutes on him. You know what I mean? Spent a lot of money on him. And as I mentioned, the whole thing about not being good defensively. Listen, we don't say that about Lingard. We don't say that about other wide players. Why is it always attached to Benrahma? So I just feel like the whole thing is just unfair, really.
Yeah, I think. And Benrahma, he's not shown any signs of this whatsoever. But if I was Benrahma, I'd be starting to get a little bit frustrated, because I can't think of many games where he's been poor. And, you know, to have four... I would have expected Benrahma to have started that game either way. Yeah. But for it to be a big game at Old Trafford and you've got both Lingard and Fornals out and you still don't start, that is a real kick in the teeth. That is a real kick in the teeth. It's like two other wide midfielders, right, are out and I'm still not going to pick you. I'm still going to pick the veteran of the squad who's struggled every time he's played. That's a kick in the teeth, and I don't know what that does for his morale. But also, in terms of the wider morale, this system David Moyes has got of sending us out against the so-called big boys to only get a draw, only to avoid defeat. What message is that sending to our players?
As you touched on earlier, right, West Ham, what, fifth now? A remarkable season. It's been a success. Anything now is a bonus. Honestly, anything now is a bonus. And we approached that game, right, as if it was last season and we're just trying to stay in the league. Exactly. That's how we approach that match. If you look at even Sheffield United, even they beat Man United at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff. Man United played on Thursday. They played on Thursday and he had like a few injury problems. We had, what, 8 days rest? Mm. Obviously, as we touched on, Fornals and Lingard were unavailable. But still, like, the whole approach to the game was wrong, in my opinion. And it sends out a wrong message. You've got to go for it in games like this. You can't have regrets after, be like, oh, if only this happened, if only that happened. Look at
We've got nothing to lose. Exactly. That's the other thing. We've got nothing to lose. It's not like you're thinking, well, we're neither, let's say, at the top of the table, we can't afford to lose points, or at the bottom. Go out, lose 3-0. You've got credit in the bank, mate. David Moyes has got so much credit in the bank. We could have got spanked 4-0, right, with them hitting us on four counterattacks, and no one's going to be slagging off David Moyes, right? Yeah. He's got too much credit in the bank. Use that. You won't always have that amount of credit in the bank. Go out there and play Benrahma and tell us to get at them, because they are a team who you can get at.
Yeah.
You know, they are a team who you can beat. So like the Liverpool performance, those are the two most... The games that we got the worst reaction to, probably the Newcastle game. That was the opening day of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the team got it, came in for a lot of stick after that. But to me, that's nowhere near the disappointment that I have felt after us playing Liverpool and United this season. Because in both games, we were on a run of form and it was like we went out and just went to them, all right, don't worry, lads. You know, almost like intimidated by the badge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Manchester United. Yeah. But it's not Manchester United under Alex Ferguson in 1999, yeah, lads, right? This is a very different proposition. And ditto Liverpool, he couldn't see, and he should have done if he'd been watching the videos of Liverpool, right? Because everyone else has been beating Liverpool ever since we played them, right? That's the thing that really pissed me off. Every time Liverpool lose to some tin pot club, I'm thinking, why didn't we do that, right? Yeah. He should have seen. This is not the Liverpool of last season. This is not the formidable Liverpool side who are going to punish you every time you give the ball away. You know, that was a beatable team. United were a beatable team and we blew it. And that could have not just been 2 points. That could have been 6 points out of those games, you know.
You know the worst thing about the Liverpool defeat? We had a centre-back pairing of Jordan Henderson and Nathaniel Phillips.
Yeah.
A makeshift centre-back pairing. The whole approach they've been, get the ball to Antonio. Use his pace against them. But we didn't do that. Long balls, hoping he'll bring that flick on. Like, what on earth are we doing? The reason why West Ham are fifth right now is the free-flow attacking football we've seen. The reason why we're all a bit, not even upset, but we're like, wow, what performance after that defeat against Man City? Because the players gave it a go. They gave it a go. I remember the image of Vladimir Safar looking distraught. Mm. Players gave it everything in that match. The win against Tottenham Hotspur. Players went toe-to-toe. They were confident they could get a win. We didn't see that against Liverpool. We didn't see that against Man United. That's why a lot of us are thinking, what on earth is going on? The whole approach is wrong. Stop being negative. We can go toe-to-toe with these clubs. We can get a result.
I do worry about what the players will start to think if this goes on, you know, and if he never, no matter how well we're performing, he never gives them a brief to take these so-called bigger teams on. It's good. As a player, it would piss you off, wouldn't it? Because I reckon they know they're good enough. They've got plenty of confidence, you know. They know they're good enough.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Hello listeners, sorry to interrupt your show, but we've got a small favour to ask. We're currently doing a bit of a survey to find out more about you, your podcast listening habits, and the sort of adverts that are most relevant to you. If you feel like helping, please head to surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. That's pretty catchy, so I'll say it one more time. surveymonkey.com/r/athleticaudiouk. Thank you.
Any positives from it? I suppose Fabianski had a great game. That's one of the only positives I can see. And obviously Benrahma had a good impact when he came on, which hopefully will mean that he'll start against Arsenal. But I'm not sure. I mean, you know, he's in and out so much. I'm starting to think Moyes has serious doubts about him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I reckon Benrahma will be on the bench, unfortunately, for the Arsenal game. But as you touched on, Fabianski justified why he got that 1 year deal and why he's so reliable. As you touched on, so many good saves he pulled off. And you know what? From that match in general, I really feel for Craig Dawson. I really do, because I felt like he had a small glimmer chance of potentially getting England squad. There's a small chance.
Yeah.
That on goal pretty much has killed it now, in my opinion. I really feel for him. I really do.
Yeah, that's a shame. Other performances that were noteworthy for the wrong reasons. Johnson didn't have his best game. That's a couple of dodgy games he's had now. I feel for him because I can see that he's got the quality. But he's being played out of position.
He's a young lad playing against big teams at City and Man United. He's had to operate as a left wing back against, whereas really he is a right back, you know, so it's not easy. Yeah. And you wonder what it's doing to his confidence now.
Yeah, and the big thing with Joe Johnson, he's just been inconsistent. That match against the 3-0 win against Sheffield United, he was amazing that game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He got a standing ovation when he came off. And bear in mind, there's no fans. That's how good he played in that game.
Yeah.
And it's like, ever since he was nervous against Man City, kept giving the ball away against Man United. And sometimes I wonder, because he plays on the left or right, and he's on the same, basically the same line of vision as David Moyes, I wonder if that affects confidence. If he were to give a ball up, a misplaced pass.
Yeah.
He was in his air like, come on, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, like when you're in school.
Kevin Nolan shouting at him.
You know, like when you're in school, right? You're doing an exam and the teacher's going around looking at what you're doing. You're thinking, oh my goodness, don't look at me. Don't look at me. It's sort of that sort of vibe I'm getting from Ben Johnson. But hopefully he can turn it around because I sort of think he's a good player just to get that confidence back.
Yeah, I just think it is hard. You know, if you're a natural right-sided player and you're playing out of position there on the left, I mean, for that reason, again, I would have thought start with a back four. Play the experienced man, Cresswell, at left back, but perhaps he was just worried about the pace that United had down that side, and that's one of Cresswell's few flaws, is that he can't necessarily go up against a very pacey right winger, So, you know, there was some things to be disappointed about. The other player that I touched upon earlier is Jarrod Bowen. When we signed him only just over a year ago, it seems like he's been around longer. It was a fantastic signing. He came in, he sort of, much same as Lingard's done this year, he sort of lent a directness, a positivity, pace, excitement, goal-scoring threat to the team. Since then, we've added a couple of other wide players, Lingard and Benrahma, who probably have a lot more technical ability than Bowen. And Bowen has struggled. He hasn't scored in a long time. And something about him has dipped. Now, I saw someone on a Facebook group yesterday say, maybe we should, you know, if we really want to push this team forward, maybe you cash in on Bowen, make a profit on him this summer and, you know, and start looking at players who are more of a Jesse Lingard level, which is a notch up. You know, what do you think about that?
No, he don't sell Bowen. Definitely don't sell Bowen. With Bowen, it's a weird one, really, about his struggle, because at one point in the season, I was thinking, this guy could be a dark horse for Euros.
Yeah.
That was his form. Could be a dark horse for Euros. And I feel like one thing that hasn't been discussed, really, is I think it's a psychological thing. Because remember when he was in the team, he could get taken off. He was always getting taken off. And I don't feel like he's recovering from that. He's thinking, oh, I'm going to come off early. He comes off the bench, 10 minutes to have an impact, not enough time. So I reckon it's a mental battle he's really going through right now, because we all know he's a good player. He's shown it previously. But again, at United, he didn't play well. And I remember there was a passage to play, right? West Ham on a counter-attack. And you're thinking, play the pass to Antonio. And he kept on the ball for even longer. You're thinking, what on earth are you doing, Jarrod? Like, just play the pass.
Yeah. He is responsible for that. It's not rare to see him do that, hold on to the ball. He often will be looking to work his own way into a shooting opportunity.
Yeah.
When he's playing down that right wing, he sometimes comes in a bit more central, but when he's actually out there on the right wing, I feel that he's a bit too predictable and that he'll always cut in to try and shoot on his left, which is what you call in the trade a Yarmolenko. Right? And just as Yarmolenko, every defender in the league worked him out, you know, and therefore he was basically nullified as a threat. Because every coach could tell every fullback and defender, listen, just don't let him come in on his left and happy days. There's no problem. Bowen's got a bit more, there's obviously got more pace than Yarmolenko, but he looks to come in. He won't ever, despite his pace, I don't feel that he tries to go outside enough. Put it this way, this is a weird turnaround. I was actually starting longing for Ryan Fredericks, who in his, you know, last couple of games where he got injured, we saw him operate in right wing rather than right back.
Yeah.
And that pace he's got where he'll always, and that he's right-footed, he'll always go on the outside of the defender and get across him, which they hate. You know, I thought, oh God, I wouldn't mind a bit of that because Bowen is always bringing us inside, you know.
I'll say very quickly, that's a great point, because that match you're talking about is Aston Villa, where Fredericks and Safar doubled up on Grealish, basically, and done an absolute great job. Grealish had no impact whatsoever. Fredericks looked really good, as you touched on his pace. And the one thing I like about Fredericks' improvement of the season is his final ball. I feel like his final ball has improved a lot. And that's definitely something Moyes should consider when Fredericks comes back from his groin strain.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I mean, how are we looking with injuries? Because obviously there's, 10 games left now. And, you know, massive. And you look at the fixture list and it's pretty relentless. I mean, these are all tough games we've still got, not least with a sort of a resurgent Arsenal this weekend. And you're thinking, man, I don't know, if Ogbonna hadn't been injured, would we have got more out of the City game? Would we have got more out of United? I would suggest, yeah, because, you know, these are fine margins in these games. And Ogbonna had been our best player in an excellent season. Anyway, I'd say Ogbonna had been our best player until he was injured overall this season. And the amount of times you've seen him be that tiny difference when they had a chance on goal and he was the man throwing himself in the way at the last minute. So I'm missing him. I'd forgotten until yesterday when it popped into my head how great Masuaku had been at the beginning of the season and how fundamental, how integral he was to the 3-5-2 system working so well when Moyes first introduced it, because it's just such a natural position for him. On that left side, a natural left footer who can actually get those crosses in consistently. You know, there's a lot of players I'm sort of half forgotten about. I mean, shit, we need these guys back now.
Yeah, I agree. If I was looking in a dictionary at the word left wing back, a picture of Masuaku will come up.
Yeah.
That role is tailor-made for him. He's not a left back, he's not a left winger, he's a left wing back. That role is tailor-made for him. And as you touched on, he was in really good form prior to his injury. And he's the player that Moyes is optimistic will come back before the end of the season. The same applies to Ogbonna. My mind goes back to Ruben Dias' goal for Man City. And if Ogbonna was marking him, that would not be a goal.
Yeah.
That would not be a goal. So the fine margin we're talking about. So to be fair, right, if you look at West Ham's game between now and the season, only barring the Arsenal game and the Chelsea game, it's quite a good running.
Mm.
It's a good running. So having these players back, I know it's a cliche thing to say, but it'll be like a new signing because the players will come back, have that bit of, you know, energy for the team. So it'll be like new signings when Ogbonna will come back, when Masuaku will come back, when Fredericks will come back. And obviously, this can only help West Ham in terms of achieving a top four finish.
Yeah, Arsenal's going to be tough, isn't it? They look decent. It's a bit annoying because they've looked very average most of the season, but they suddenly look like they're getting their act together. This is going to be a tough one, isn't it? What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, hopefully Ogbanian is late for training again or late for the game, so he could be on the bench for that one. But yeah, this will be a tough one. And I honestly think it's important to get a result, because if that's two defeats in the bounce, bearing in mind we're going to international break, it could be like, oh, what on earth is going on right now?
Yeah.
Not doom and gloom, but like the atmosphere could change. I feel like it's really important to get a result in that match.
We were so unlucky against Arsenal earlier in the season. I thought that was our first very good performance of the season, and we still lost.
I still blame that defeat on Yarmolenko. I forgot who was meant to be marking.
He lost someone.
Yeah, he lost someone.
I know. I remember the exact moment. They got free down their left side, and he sort of stood just watching it happen, didn't he?
Yep.
But yeah, the thing is, they're a different proposition now. And frustratingly, this is a game that in the current situation, you're thinking, well, a point will do out of this. Because if we do pick up, if we win our other games, if we manage to get a draw and maybe get a point out of Chelsea as well, but focus on winning the other games, very good chance we can still finish in that top four. But yeah, doesn't feel like the nicest time to be playing Arsenal, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you've got, Emil Smith-Rowe's in good form and other players like Lacazette scoring goals again. So it'll definitely be a tough one. But listen, the players have bounced back before and now they've got another chance to bounce back. It's obviously good that Lingard will be back in the starting lineup for that match as well. Yeah. So he'll want to do well. And imagine by that point, it'll be confirmed that Lingard's in the England squad because he definitely merits back. So he'll have an extra spring in his step. So yeah, it will be a tough one, but I reckon
he's become like our most important player.
He has,
hasn't he? Really, because you know when he's in the team, even when you're not playing fantastically well, you know if he'd played against United, you know that he's going to be an outlet, and there will be moments in the game where he gets it, looks up, and just runs and almost drags the team into an attacking situation because he's just fearless, isn't he? When he gets it, he's so direct and he will just run. He will cover you like 50, 60 yards in the blink of an eye and get the whole team up there with him. Pace in Bowen and Antonio who can get up there with him very quickly, you know, it makes us so much more of a threat.
Yeah, I was saying 4 goals and 6 appearances. And the thing is, Lingard, he's got the work rate, but he's got the end product to go with it as well. That's why it's just so important for us. What he brings in terms of offensively, how he's able to link up with his teammates, whether it's Benram or Tony or that. All that factors we're missing in the defeat against Man United. So, and you know what? Lingard loves playing against Arsenal. You remember that the moonwalk celebration not long ago where he scored at Emirates Stadium?
No, I didn't remember.
Yeah, the moonwalk celebration at the Emirates. So yeah, see that will be an extra factor for Lingard wanting to do well against Arsenal.
He's a player with a huge amount of confidence about him, and that's what I like. Those sorts of players, you think they're gonna be more motivated in these games against the bigger clubs, because that's the stage that they want to really perform on and prove themselves. So hopefully he will make a difference. I would love to see Benrahma as well, but you're probably right. He's probably not going to start. I don't know. Have you mentioned this already when we expect Fornals to be back?
Yeah, so with Fornals, it was an niggling injury. Right. So it's nothing too serious. So it's a good chance to be back. Probably not in the start 11, probably the bench, but he will be back for this one for sure.
Well, hopefully we'll come back strong. We've got no reason to believe we wouldn't, because I can't think of a time this season where we've played badly twice on the spin. Mm-hmm. Almost every time we've lost a game, we've come back and looked better in the next game, usually won it, or at least like turned in a more positive performance. So hopefully that'll be the case again, Rashane. What can we look forward to reading on The Athletic this week about the Hammers?
So on Wednesday, there'll be an article on the site on why Jay Ling's deserved to be in England squad. And also looking at like Craig Dawson's chance, probably unlikely now, but I spoke to Matty Opson for that. So he was really good. I'm also looking at Cresswell. And the third piece this week, well, I'm torn between two pieces, whether to be looking at Jared Bowen's struggles or a young player in the academy called Keenan Appiah-Fulton, who I reckon is really good. So I'm torn between
the two. Well, you've pronounced his name, which in itself is impressive, because that sounded like you just said about 9 syllables.
Yeah, Keenan Appiah-Fulton. I was in Liverpool last Saturday for the academy game at the training ground. And he really caught my eye. He played really good.
What position is he?
He's a central midfielder.
Right, okay.
Well, he's the smallest guy in the pit, Sam. He's 5'5", if I was to guess. He's so small, but he's really good.
Is he attacking, defending? What sort of player?
Everything. Everything. Really? Yeah, like he's the engine, honestly. Like he never stops.
A position that we do need strengthening in. I mean, in the transfer market, it'd be a lot nicer if we could produce another player from the youth team in that position, because certainly when we look at the summer, which we might do in the coming weeks, that, along with probably left back and centre forward, is the position we need to strengthen in, isn't it?
I agree, because if Rice or Solchek were suffering from an injury, sort of thinking who's going to have a similar impact. I know there's high hopes for Connor Coventry, but he's more defensive mind. He's not really a sort of box-to-box midfielder who can score goals. So I agree. It's definitely an area that West Ham sort of strengthening.
Well, we'll look out for those pieces in The Athletic. See which one you decide to do. Both sound cracking to me. And
Hold on. Before we go, Sam, I must say, I'm very, very, very disappointed, pal. You ruined Chip Day for your family.
Oh, mate, don't bring that up. I've only just got over that. You know what, right? I put it on Twitter. I barely had a bigger reaction to anything. This just says a lot about the British public, right? It's like, most families have a chip night. Ours is Thursday night. Yeah. And I put the McCain, the thin fries, mate, not the thick ones, the thin fries. That's what I prefer, right?
Yeah.
But it's absolutely because 16 minutes, it says on the packet. I thought I'll put them in a bit more because I like them crispy. I put them in for 22. They came out. They were just like, they were like ice lollies. The humiliation of getting your family to scrape them off the plate. The kids didn't want to. And I said, well, look, you don't want to eat them cold. They're coming off the plate. They've been scraped back in the oven 10 minutes. Still wasn't 100% pleased. I've been the subject of mockery in the house for a week. My wife described my cooking performance on chip night as gross incompetence. And my daughter said that she didn't even want me using the word chip for the next couple of weeks because I'd lost the right to do so. That's how bad it was, mate. I'm trying to put it behind me, so thanks for bringing it up. It was humiliating, really humiliating, mate.
Sorry to hear that, Pa. I think next time you should try sweet potato fries.
Is that what you favour?
Yeah, that could be a good alternative for you, pal.
And are they easier? Are they quicker to cook?
I believe so. Easy to cook, okay. Tastes better, in my opinion. But so that really? Could be interesting. Yeah.
All right, no, I will give that a go, mate. I will give that a go. Thanks for the tip. All right, you're always learning stuff on New Irons, aren't you, listener? Thanks very much, as always. Remember to subscribe because you've got that special deal on. Subscribe to all the fantastic writing on The Athletic at the moment. We'll be back next week reviewing the Arsenal game. Here's to another 3 points. In the meantime, though, come on, New Irons. And remember, ladies and gents, there's only one. Samatiabu!
The Athletic.